This morning's scripture comes from Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called and in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God, the Father, through him. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Thanks, Tracy. I invite you now to settle your hearts and minds as we turn to God for a moment of prayer. Let us pray. God, you are God of our hearts and God of our celebrations, God of all time and all seasons. We've gathered this morning, Lord, being drawn in faithfulness to your goodness, to the power of your Spirit at work. We thank you. We thank you for all that greets us here, the joy of an amazing week of songs sung and lessons learned. We come this morning from differing places, some of us energized from the week, some of us weary, perhaps some of us even numb as we come in, just uncertain how we feel from the world's tensions and divisions around us. We pray, Lord, that as we continue in the space and as we reflect on the power of your holy word, that you would greet us both in our speaking and in our listening this morning. Guide us, Lord, in holy connection with you. Help our hearts and our lives join with your vision for each of us, for all of our families, and for the world around us. We pray this prayer in the powerful name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we wrap up this week. We've been talking about vacation, and our party theme fits very well into where we've been over the past few weeks, talking about taking the church on vacation. We've dreamed a little bit about what it might look like if we all went on vacation together, and we said, that's really not quite possible, but it is possible wherever we go. I learned in listening to the news that this week coming up with July 4th, and by the way, we hope you have a wonderful celebration, whatever you have planned, that more people are traveling this year than perhaps any other year with the holiday. So be careful if you're in the travel queue, but this is just such an opportune time for us to talk about what it means not to go on vacation together, but to take our faith as we are in spaces in the summertime, as we travel, as we come close in with friends and family and our circles, whatever they look like. It's real important for us to think about what it could be if we all, here at Florist Restoration, take the principles of our faith out. We began talking about how Jesus valued rest and how Jesus sought for himself and for the disciples places where he could find solitude and leisure, we even read, right? And sometimes in the midst of that, we're still called to faithfulness, we learned as we talked about it in our first week. We've talked about what it means to have the holiness of Christ as we travel in. We'll deepen with that conversation today as we talk about what it means to travel in character. What does it mean to travel and stay in character? In this reading that Tracy just shared with us a few minutes ago, you heard the writer say that we are holy and beloved of God. And to be holy and to be beloved ones, and we are beloved of God, what does it mean to move in and through our whole life in that character that God claims in us, which is holy and beloved? So think about that. Think about character, and we'll move and we'll try to pull it apart a little bit as we talk. There's a story that comes out of a small town. It's actually out of a small town courtroom. The attorney calls to the bench for his first witness, an older woman. And the woman comes, and the first thing he asks her to kind of get their conversation warmed up is he says, "Do you know me, Mrs. Jones?" And Mrs. Jones looks at the attorney and she says, "I know you well. I know you from when you were a boy, and I've watched you all your days. And what I've seen in you is that you're not a very honest man. You don't always tell the truth, and here in our town, you think you're a big shot. And I have to tell you that most people don't think a lot of you." "Yes, I know you, sir," she said. Well, you can imagine the attorney was taken aback by this lady that he knew from childhood saying these things about. So he quickly shifted and he said, do you know Mr. Williams over here, the defense attorney?" And she said, "Yes, sir, I know Mr. Williams. I used to babysit him when he was young. And what I've seen in him is he runs a real shady practice. People don't trust his business, and he really thinks he's something, and most people just don't have a very high opinion of Mr. Williams." With that, a hush went over the courtroom, and the judge called both of these attorneys to the bench. The judge leaned in, and very quietly, he said, "If either one of you ask if she knows me, I'm going to call you both in contempt of this court." I tell you that story because character matters. Character matters. It's a joke, you know, it comes as a story. But when people are in relationship with us for long enough, she had observed these men over time, but for long enough, they develop an opinion of our character, what's intrinsic to us, who we really are. We can fool people for a short time, but our character shines through. I thought it might be interesting for us to look at a few quotes about kind of famous people and what they said about character. So I picked a few. This is from Abraham Lincoln. "Character is like a tree and reputation like a shadow." I kind of like this. "The shadow is what we think of it. The tree is the real thing," Lincoln said. Let's take a look at the next one. Stevie Wonder. "Ability," and he's, if you don't know, if you're kind of younger in the room, he's a musician. He says, "Ability may get you to the top, but it's character that'll keep you there." Interesting. This one from a young person, Anne Frank writing, "Human greatness does not lie in wealth or power, but in character and goodness. People are just people, and all people have faults and shortcomings, but all of us are born with a basic goodness," writes the young Anne Frank. One more. Booker T. Washington, "Character is power." And I think that is certainly true. There's power in our character. There's power in the character of Christ that is within each of us. So when you think about this space of vacation time and character, I think oftentimes we think of vacation, and we've mentioned this a little bit in the series, we think of it as a time to just let our hair down and let all things go. And there is something to be said about relaxing, right? And just totally just being in the moment. But we have to think about the marks of our character. Again, that we're called holy and beloved of God. And what emerges from that? Well, this is a beautiful text, and we're not going to be able to look at the whole thing of it this morning from Colossians 3, but the writer says this. He says, "Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." And then he talks about forgiving as the Lord has forgiven you. And then he says, "Above all else, clothe yourself in love." So just for a minute, with that in mind, I want you to think about how much, most of the time, we talked about packing a little bit last week, how much we think about packing when we go somewhere, particularly if we go somewhere that's a different context, beach, mountains, foreign country. I'm getting ready. I won't be with you the next couple of weeks because I'm going to be in Sierra Leone. So I'm in that place. I'm going to our mission there, helping worldwide, and I'm in that place of thinking about what can I take with me? What do I need to take with me in the heat of Sierra Leone, in the rainy season that it is there now? In cultural context and norms, what do I need? I have a packing list. Generally, when we go places, we think about how we clothe ourselves. That's literally what I'm doing right now as I'm getting ready to go. And by the way, I ask for your prayers as I get ready to go for the next 15 days to represent our church and to join a mission team doing medical mission there and also support work there. NABS is going to join me there, and I'm so excited to see things with my own eyes over the next several days. Clothing ourselves, though. Think about it. When you go on vacation, you look for the right fit, right? I think we have a vacation image here. Here's a family. This is a family with the right fit for vacation attire. Now, I'm saying fit, and I'm feeling like I'm probably totally out of sync. Like that, is that an old thing to say, young people in the room? So my college-aged daughters at one point a few years ago said, "Mom, I like your fit." And I said, "What are you talking? Your outfit, your fit." So, okay, I'm cluing you into something that might have been 2 years ago, but our fit, right? So what we're talking about here is to be holy and beloved of God. What is the right fit? What do we put on? What is the right fit so that we represent the character of Christ, to be this person who is compassionate, who's patient, who's kind, who has humility that is about the business of forgiveness, and above all else is clothed in love, the scripture says. So as I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about being clothed in all these things of God, I bumped into something this week that I wanted to share with you, a little reading. And so let's take a look at this. A little bit long, but it's worth a read. I want you to think about it as I read through. If you can be cheerful, ignoring aches and pains, if you can resist complaining, if you can eat the same food every day and be grateful for it, if you can understand when your loved ones are too busy to give the time you want or need some days, if you can overlook it when those you love get things wrong through no fault of yours, but maybe they still think you're to blame, if you can take criticism without resentment, if you can ignore a friend's limited knowledge about you and never correct him or her, then you are a dog. And you possess the character we know as containing God's gift to us in their kind. That made me pause. I was like reading all this stuff about character, and I read this, and I thought, the character of humankind's best friend. Okay, so this is an opportunity for me to show you a picture of Kiva again. My dog, our new family dog, Kiva, and oh, melt my heart just looking at that picture. I love this being, this dog. We just got her, I think you've heard me say before, in December. And she's not perfect. All right, she has a few little things. One of the recent phases that she's gone through has been eating pillows for some reason. She has her stuffies, and you know, she rips those apart, but somehow that's gotten confused with pillows. And she's so sweet. She ate one of my husband's pillows. There's a pillow that was on his side of the bed. And she was so sweet about it. She went to my mom's bed, got a similar pillow, and put it back in space. That's how sweet she is. She's incredible. We better take that down or I won't say anything else. Kiva. Our dogs, this intrinsic thing that that we find in these pets, and you may not be a dog person, you may be a lizard person, I don't know, but in what we find in some of our relationship with creation and in our pets is this, what I think we find in dogs is this unconditional love. This love that just keeps showing up no matter what's happened the day before, the hour before, or 15 minutes before. That love, that nature is there for us. I hope you find that in your lizard too, if you're a lizard person. But I find that in my dog, and have found it in our dog companions and our cat companions over the years, this intrinsic wired thing of love and compassion and an unconditional nature that reflects the Creator, right? That nature is wired within us. We are created in God's image. This clothing that we choose comes directly from God. And that's called out in today's text in this character of compassion and humility and patience and kindness, and above all else is love. And when you see that in a person, whether they're a friend or a stranger, it's like a loving dog. It's why people go and pet dogs when they come up. It's a magnetic force. Have you seen this in people? Where they just exude this clothing. I see some of you shaking your heads, this clothing of compassion and love, and it's just something you want to be around. That's a person you want to call friend. That's a person that you do want to spend a week at in a beach house with, right? This person that has this clothing that says, I am holy and beloved of God. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And when that is at its best in a person doesn't even realize it. You know, you might point it out in them. You might say, wow, you are so compassionate back there. Like, I could have never been so patient and compassionate. And that person turns to you and just says, it's just how I am. Like, that's the right thing to do, right? And you see that that's just intrinsic in them, this way of Christ, this wiring of their creation and the created order that their Creator implants in us. They're letting that shine through. They're clothed in that, and it's magnetic. You want to be around that person. I think some of my best and most Christ-like moments don't come from anything that we might associate in being a pastor, you know, not like a grand sermon or a grand project of the church that I've led over the years. It's been in times where, through the guidance, I think, of God's Holy Spirit, I have just chosen to do the right thing in the right moment. You know what I'm talking about? I was thinking about this in the change of seasons that many churches are in right now with receiving new pastors, and I've been watching clergy people pack their boxes and do what I did last year, get ready to take new churches and charges. And I was thinking about a few years ago leaving a church, and all that we do in doing that was last Sunday, and there were those final moments of departure out in the gathering space, and I was saying goodbye to people, and there was someone in that group that just kept crying. She was sobbing, and I thought, wow, this lady is really upset. So as the crowd kind of waned, I made my way over to her, and I said, it's going to be okay. We pastors say things. You're going to be getting a great pastor. I know her. It's going to be great. And she said, yeah, I know. She's great. But I'm just so upset that you're leaving. And I said, I don't understand. Tell me what's wrong. And she very point blank looked at me and said, you fed me when I was hungry. And in that moment of her tears and the emotion of the last day, I didn't remember what she was talking about, folks. My head kind of tilted, and she said, you don't remember, do you? And I said, no, tell me more. I don't remember. And she said, you remember back when I was sick and in the hospital all that long time? And I said, oh, yeah, I remember. And she said, do you remember the first time you came to visit me after my surgery? And I was thinking, I said, oh, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I did, didn't I? And then she went to tell a story about how she had come out of surgery the day before, and she was so weak, and trays had been placed in front of her, but she was not able to open the stuff on the tray and get it, and no one had helped her. So I came in for the dinner meal the next day, And I came into her room to visit her, and I saw her, and I saw the tray, and I just said, "Hey, have you eaten?" And she said, "No." I said, "Would you like me to help you open this up?" And she said, "Yes." And I started opening, and I saw she was weak, and I just started feeding her. And we talked, and we did a pastoral visit, 20, 25 minutes, and I fed her. And she ate like she was so hungry and so, and we had a great conversation. She did not tell me she hadn't eaten in about 2 days at that point. Sometimes we just do what's right, right? We just do what's right. She was crying because not my character in that moment, and I'm not telling you that story to say anything about me, but in that moment when I did do the right thing, when I was observant and compassionate with the person in front of me, she saw the character of Jesus. And that stuck with her. That's very humbling. The character of Christ, looking at what's in front of you, the person in front of you that you will encounter this summer, that you will encounter in some other place, to be Christ-like, to be in character, friends, to give yourself to what people can know and see through you, and in some way they image Christ, that God uses you. Our text for this morning rounds out in a real wonderful way. Let's look at how he kind of begins to wrap up talking about being clothed and all these wonderful things and being clothed in love above all else. Would you read this part with me? "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." That'll cause you to think about whatever you do. Nothing is excluded. Your words, your deeds, your actions. Whatever you do, giving thanks. And we talked just a couple weeks ago about how our actions can give glory to God. The scripture goes on to say, enjoy the things of the faith, sing the hymns, have the party. But it's important to remember that in whatever we say or do, however we act, we represent Christ. And there's a potential in him and through us for our words, our actions, our deeds to be claimed in the name of Jesus Christ. That's powerful. And so as we wrap today, as we wrap our vacation talk, as we wrap up the party a little bit, we're still going to be about the joy of Jesus always in this place. But as we wrap, I want you to think about the challenge of what it means to be clothed, fully clothed, in these things that you see on the screen. Compassion and kindness, humility and meekness and patience, to be about the work of forgiveness. And whether you're doing big things or small things, that all of them flow from love. And I'll tell you, just like that example I gave you, some things will be just really easy and natural. This is the right thing to do in this moment. Just seems the right thing to do, to be feeding this person or to be talking about this or to be giving this hug. And there'll be other times when you're clothed yourself and all these things, it'll be harder. God may call you just in the space of summer, or maybe in this weekend plan that you have for celebrations that are coming up just this week, to do something big and courageous in his name. And I'll tell you from my experience, God comes alongside in those moments. When you step into that space and say, I'm going to be about this, I'm going to be clothed and ready for this, then God comes in and empowers in an incredible way. So as you look at this list and you think about the space that you've been given, 4th of July coming up, the rest of the weeks of summer until school starts, until Floris re-engages with our rhythm of things, where do you need to put something on? Or maybe take something off? Let us pray together. Let us pray. God, you are mighty, and we thank you for the power of your work that moves through every moment. And we thank you, Lord, that you see potential in us for our words and for our actions, our deeds, our behavior, to be a straight connection to you and to your heart. Even when we can't see it in the moment, Lord, we know that people can read it as something profound, that it taps into that intrinsic calling to be connected to you, that magnetic nature of your love, that magnetism that is like no other. And so, Lord, as we lift our hearts and our minds to you now in this space, we ask that you just teach us. Teach us what you want us to put on. Show us how. Prompt us in those moments of when we have the person right in front of us that may have a need or may be pushing buttons or may be on the other side of something. Help us. Help us to see your grace, to engage as you would have us to do in the way of Christ. We pray this prayer and we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, amen.